In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
Filling in is Andy Pate, party of choice.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush. I am joined today by Anil the Talent Mathai.
Hey, Andy.
How you doing, Anil?
I'm well. I'm doing good.
Yeah. Anil is the talent, folks. And, you know, just so you know, he spent 2 hours right before showtime in makeup for a radio show. The worst part was waiting until just 2 minutes before airtime to start upping your demands.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why you do that. I know you're very full of yourself because you're the talent and you need to be, you know, basically catered to it every time. We literally catered to you.
Well, I appreciate the purified water. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a full buffet outside. I kind of finished it. Sorry about that. Okay. Are you ready for the question of the day?
Let's go for it.
Okay. By the way, what was Charlie? Did we do the question? Did I ever give the answer yesterday? I want to make sure of this. The question of the day yesterday was, playing this game actually improves your brain function. I said hungry, hungry hippos. It was not correct.
Yeah.
Did you ever play that?
Hungry? Oh, I loved it. Yeah, that was.
Where you just hammer down in there and get all the marbles you can. It has no skill whatsoever.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, hours of fun. Well, the answer was Tetris.
Tetris.
Right. So if you play Tetris, Shimei guessed that. So Shimei, if you are out there anywhere in the world, you got it right. Way to go. She was the co-host yesterday, Shimei Navarro. So okay. Way to go. Today.
I was going to guess Rubik's Cube on that one, you know.
Oh, wow. That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
I always just painted it all. You know, dunk it all in white paint.
Yeah. There you go.
Ready to go. Yeah. It dries on, then you can't actually move it. Not that it matters.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Most people think it's gross, but nearly 70% of folks admit they do it. What is it?
I'm going to guess picking your nose.
Yeah, that's pretty gross. What about picking someone else's nose? I think that would be really gross.
Yeah.
No? Well, here's some of the answers. And by the way, folks, as always, you can go to rushtoreason.com. And over on the right side of the page, up at the top, it says question. Click on that, and then you can vote for one of the multiple choice options. Here they are.
Okay.
Number one, use someone else's toothbrush.
Yeah,
that's pretty gross. Number two, wear day-old socks again.
That's not as bad as a toothbrush.
It's not as bad. Number three, not wash their hands after using the restroom.
Oh, that's gross. Yeah.
Yes. Number four, drink expired milk.
I don't know. I get past the smell, first of all.
I can't do that. Well, you see, I was raised in Wisconsin. For me, milk has to be just right. Yeah. Ice cold and absolutely not spoiled, not even close to the date. So that one for me is absolutely impossible. And I don't know. How about watch Family Guy? That's pretty good. That's gross. And most people do it. What do you think, Charlie? He doesn't think so. Do you have a guess? Okay, I'm going to weigh in on this. I am going to say not wash your hands after using the restroom.
That's terrible. Oof.
Okay, so I'm going to, that's my vote, folks. I'm putting it in right now. Do you have a vote?
I'll go with that, yeah.
Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm. So we're already up 2-0. Mm-hmm. And after the break, we're going to bring in Matt Peel, the president of Athlete in the Game of Life. He's going to help us work on our body to work on our mind.
Okay.
You know, I need a lot of help there. You'll be fine.
No, I need a lot of help.
Yeah. You need a lot of help?
It's a great topic. I really do want to get my brain sharper in that area.
So. All right. Sounds good. Well, first up, affordable interest mortgage with Kurt Rogers. Hey, Anil, it's springtime. Mm-hmm. It's home improvement time, right?
Yes, it is.
That takes money. And with interest rates right now, that money is cheap. Call Kurt Rogers at Affordable Interest Mortgage, and he'll get the cash you need to upgrade and probably lower your rates as well. Call Kurt at 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.net.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loan to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, a good shop is up next. Folks, you know accidents happen. They do.
Yeah,
absolutely. But don't you wish you were prepared when they do? Well, let Al Sturm at A Good Shop help. Go to their website on your phone, download their mobile estimating tool, and you'll know what steps to take should that fender bender occur. Now, that's pretty cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right when that occurs, aren't you panicked?
All the time, yeah.
And you don't know, you have no idea what pictures to take, how to protect yourself, how to get an estimate. You don't know what to do? Their tool right then and there will guide you through it. Call Al at 720-541-7697, or you can find them at klzradio.com. Bad accident? You need a good shop.
Get your auto body work and mechanical repairs done at the same place. Most people have one shop for auto body work and another for mechanical repairs and maintenance. But Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop can handle both. Al and Jamie Sturm are constantly looking for new ways to provide better, more convenient service for their customers because they're driven by one simple goal, to help more people. At A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City, they do their best to handle everything in-house so you don't need to be relying on the dealers to get your vehicle back. Bring your vehicle into A Good Shop for auto body work, and they'll take care of your struts, brakes, and alignment at the same time. Auto body and mechanical work, all under one roof. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush, along with the talent, Anil Mathai. And on the line right now, we have got the president of Athlete in the Game of Life, Matt Peel. Matt, how you doing today?
I'm wonderful, Andy and Anil. How are y'all today?
We are good.
We are doing very well. Now, today you were going to talk about how to work the body to work the mind. Is that correct?
That is correct. We can definitely do that.
Okay, well, before we get into that, I just want to ask right up front, does that mean I can at last blame my dumbness on my laziness? I need a scapegoat here.
I'm going to just go, instead of $1,000 for that, Alex, I'm going to go for $200.
Well, I was kind of hoping I could, and then maybe I could blame my laziness on my dumbness, and ultimately I'm not to blame. I mean, it's kind of, I know it's kind of circular, but anyway. Okay.
That's like hexagonal. That's not even circular.
Yes,
there's
true.
A lot of points in between on that one.
My wife just blames me flat out for both. Okay.
Right.
What are you talking about here to help with the mind? Because let's face it, we all, as we get older, or let's face it, just as we get tired, our mental functions lapse. We're not as focused. And I notice this a lot, you know, where my focus is lapsed. I'm just like, what am I even doing? I can't remember things. Is there a way that we can help this with our exercise?
There absolutely is. And the CDC has come under fire a lot lately, you know, as we know with the pandemic. First, we want this
right.
amount of feet, that amount of feet, mask, no mask, whatever it may be. But in 2008, they put out their first version of physical activity guidelines for the country. Most people obviously were not aware of that. And then in 2018, they put out a new study 10 years later. And in this study, they put a lot of information on how physical activity and exercise also helps to benefit cognitive function. And they broke it down by age group, too, as far as, you know, young kids, teenagers, into, I guess I'll say regular age adults, and then into older adults, and how much activity they recommend each day and how that can help with cognitive functioning.
Hey, Matt, before you go on, let me ask you this. How did they arrive at their findings? I mean, did they just literally test it and have this person work out more, that one less, and then test their response, or how did that work?
No, you can go online to cdc.gov,
okay,
and the report is, you know, a few hundred pages. So it wasn't just talking to me and you and saying, well, what do y'all think about this? They really did a pretty extensive research, and it can be the cure for insomnia for some. For others, it's pretty interesting.
Okay.
But the main story is that exercise can boost three things. It can help with executive function, which is things like putting on your clothes, brushing your teeth, you know, so you don't have to constantly think about it. You know, you just put a shirt on. You just brush your teeth. You don't think about, well, let me pick up the toothbrush. Let me put toothpaste on the tooth. You know, all the little details in between. Like when you first started driving, if you all remember that, it was very difficult. Turn on the signal. Make sure we brake. All those things. So what executive function is making that habit. And then speed of processing information. So how fast the stimulus that you get when you're driving, how fast can you process that information and then react upon that? You know, a car is coming in your direction.
Hey, Matt, let me ask you a question on that. Would that explain why a lot of the elderly drive slow? And I know they come under fire. No one wants to be behind the guy with a hat, and I get it. Okay. But I mean, are they basically trying, they have to drive more, a little more slowly to process information coming at them to be more safe?
That is correct.
Okay.
As we age, our cognitive function and our reaction times do slow down. So exercise, elevating your heart rate, doing complex movements like a bench press, a squat, balance, can help to boost that speed of processing. And then it also helps with short-term memory recall. Not just, hey, what happened 25 years ago, but, you know, you were doing, studying math for a test 20 minutes ago. So now if we do some exercise and get that heart rate up, it can help with short-term memory recall.
How does it do this, Matt? I mean, is it by boosting the circulation, which is body-wide, so it would help with circulation to the mind, or is it through different ways?
It's through different ways, and there's neural pathways in the brain. And there's another phrase out there called neuroplasticity, and that's just the ability of the brain to reorganize itself with its neural pathways to learn new things, like for kids, learning 2 + 2, learning how to pick up a ball and throw it. And as we age in cognitive decline, it's kind of, yeah, let's relearn how to stand on one foot without falling. Let's relearn how to turn to the left, maybe if our left leg isn't as strong. Neuroplasticity also works for someone who's had a stroke, and they learn to talk again. They learn how to use that right hand that they maybe lost function in. So that's how we rebuild those neural networks and relearn all this stuff.
Hey, Matt, this is Anil. This is great information. The question I have is there any specific exercises for different age groups that will help us with the cognitive function, or is it like stretching for everybody? It'll come out with the same benefit regardless of age.
Yeah, I like competitive eating, just as fast and chewing as fast as I can. Does that help?
Well, what really helps in competitive eating if you don't chew.
Oh, that's
true. Right there, you know. Joey Chestnut, I don't think, has chewed a hot dog in the past 27 years.
No, I don't think so.
You know, takes those things down, which is another story for another day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but to answer your question, Anil, the human body, regardless of age, does operate in the same way. Mm-hmm. So whether we're 7 years old or 70 years old, you know, the bicep still is activated when we want to bring something to us. So the more complex our movement is, the more neural pathways have to be engaged and the better off we are. So that's why if we compare like doing a bicep curl to a squat, you know, there's a lot more movement in the squat. So it's those complex movements that will benefit more than just, say, a bicep curl.
Got it.
Now, Matt, are you talking more in the way of aerobic and light weights helping in this regard, or can more heavy kind of movements like pumping iron, can that work as well?
Pumping iron, absolutely. As a matter of fact, what the guidelines say, especially for youth, is that you need 2 days a week of muscle and bone strengthening activities that are going to help, one, with overall body conditioning, but those things also do help with, again, the neurons and the neural pathways, because we have to focus and think. If you're doing a squat with any kind of weight, you don't want to hurt yourself, so you have to use good form to lower yourself and then stand back up again. And all those pathways have to work in conjunction with each other. So it's those types of things that benefit kids as well as older adults, absolutely.
And Matt, you know, I see a lot of people walking outside, getting fresh air. I mean, all of that is very supportive of, increasing our cognitive function, right?
Elevating the heart rate is a big part of it, yes. And not to say don't do that at all. Mm-hmm. But with the more you have going on, so whether you're walking outside is going to have a lot more neural stimulation than if you're sitting there on the treadmill in the gym staring at the same mirror of yourself with your headphones on the whole time. So all those different adaptations are helpful for cognitive development. And obviously your heart rate, the more you elevate that, the better off you are too. Got so it. All those things combined, you know, definitely are a benefit.
Got it.
Okay, Matt, let's look at this in two different ways. The short-term burst or the maintenance. And what I mean is this. On the one hand, I want maintenance, right? I want my mind to be sharper all the time, just in case I need it, in case I need it while driving, my reaction time, or if I need it in case, you know, I have to get into some sort of discussion. On the other hand, short term, maybe I'm getting ready for that big meeting, that big presentation, that big speech.
Right.
In fact, I had to do a speech last night, and just getting myself ready for that and getting everything retention, it was really hard.
It is. So the key thing, this is what the guidelines say, and you know, anybody out there listening can go and fact check me on this. It's not fake news. So if we
we believe you.
moderate to vigorous, and that's where the key is moderate to vigorous. It's not just, well, I kind of strolled out my front door and around the car and came back in, I got my exercise. No, you got to do a little bit more than that. But 11 to 20 minutes after a bout of, and I said not a bout as in one word, but a bout of moderate to vigorous exercise, your brain is primed. So, Andy, if you went and did a little bit of moderate to vigorous exercise for 10 minutes, and then around 15 minutes later, boom, it's time for your speech, or it's time for your test, or it's time for that complex project, now your brain is primed and ready to go.
Okay, so let's say you're in an office building, you walk the steps. How's that for an idea?
Great.
Because that's vigorous. Yeah, it really is. So you go up and down the steps a couple times and, you know, really get it pumping, really get it engaged, and then 15 minutes later, you're going to be much more ready for that presentation.
You'll be ready for that presentation, exactly, that meeting, whatever it is. And same thing with kids in school. Now, there's a few school districts in Colorado that do a great job of this. But as a nation as a whole, we do a very poor job of this. They want kids sitting in that desk more, staring at a screen, listening to Charlie Brown's teacher talk all the time. What they need to be is outside getting free play, getting physical education. Then you come back in, you take that standardized test, your state testing. Now your kids are ready to go.
Okay, Matt, let's say you're at a school. How many times a day would you recommend getting the kids engaged like that, getting them physically engaged? And by the way, there are teachers everywhere right now who want to lynch you because they're saying, how do I get them back in their seats? You know, once they get up and running, they feel a little freedom. How do I even get them to settle down? But the fact is, what you're saying is right, because I agree. If they sit there staring at a screen, they're going to check out. So what would you recommend?
Well, they need to be out, because if you tell your kids, and you remember this when we were growing up. Okay, kids, class, you're punished. Guess what? No recess today. So what do? We're more restless. We're more rambunctious in class. Mm-hmm. We have more behavioral issues because we're not allowed to go outside and burn all that off, get our heart rates up, exercise, let our brains wander a little bit, and then we come back in and we're a little hot and sweaty, and sure, there's a little settle down period, but now we're ready to go. And that's what we need to start incorporating. You know, there's other companies out there that make those stand-up desks with the bike that you pedal underneath it. But any type of physical activity is actually going to help kids stay more focused.
Matt, I mean, you mentioned just a few minutes ago that, getting ready, getting, warmed up to do, Andy's amazing presentation, speech, wherever he spoke at. Is that why athletes get, they stretch, they do a whole bunch of stuff, getting so they can zone in and focus on the actual physical play later on? Is that consistent with that?
I think that would be more of a secondary function or latent function of it. Obviously, mm-hmm. they don't want to injure themselves physically, so mm-hmm. that's why they do. But the latent function of that would be, yes, they're, you're ready to go. You're focused. Mm-hmm. Again, you have that short-term memory recall improving. You have your speed of processing information. Think of a running back. When he knows a play is whatever, Z29 left, mm-hmm. gets the ball, the hole is plugged. What do I do now? Well, now I have to cut this way or I have to cut that way. Mm-hmm. And just able to use his legs and push in the different directions, that's all speed of processing information.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's take a look at food, okay? What kind of foods would you eat to help your cognitive performance? I mean, what would hurt, what helps?
I think that's kind of the same as wherever we go. We don't want to have a lot of fatty foods, because in the end, fat does clog up our blood vessels and circulation, so we get less blood going to the brain, and then we don't think as clearly. So, excuse me, I'm sure there's people out there that say, oh, you got to eat ginger, you got to eat turmeric, or you got to eat basil. I don't know. All those little things I'm not real sure about. But if we just kind of overall eat a little healthier, have a little less fat in our diet, just watch our calories some, that should suffice overall.
Okay. By the way, do people actually like those stand-up desks? That looks like a horror show to me. I mean, I want to sit down. And
I have one at work. I like it.
You do?
People love them. Yeah.
I love them.
They absolutely love them.
For Charlie, I bought one in a large version of a hamster wheel that he runs on the entire time he does the show, and that keeps him engaged. I think I'm doing him a favor. Let me ask you this.
Hyper-focused.
He's very focused. He's angry, too. What was that gesture?
Well, because he hasn't pillaged in a while.
Hasn't pillaged in a while. I know. That's what we were talking about last time.
Different interview.
Well, that's a different interview, but you would agree that the Vikings were very mentally engaged while they were pillaging. I mean, while they're racing through a village, they're looking around, they're picking up the... Yeah, I think that really worked. Let me ask you this before we let you go here, because... We have right and left brain functions, and I really believe in right left brain theory. And for instance, mm-hmm. if I want my right brain to really engage, it does it best for me not when I sit there and try to write, and I do a lot of writing, but it engages much better when I go for a walk, and I'm out walking about, moving. Not so much on a treadmill. I agree with you there, because you're right. Just looking at that screen or that mirror or whatever. I don't have a mirror in my treadmill. That would be kind of weird. But, I find that when I'm walking outdoors, I'm much more engaged and my right brain kicks in, and that's when I get my best ideas.
Yes. Our adrenaline goes up. Our heart rate goes up a little bit, whether you're jogging outside or walking or cycling, whatever it may be, because there's so much stimulus around you that now your brain is engaged in. Inside when you're, or if in your bedroom, there's no other really stimulus happening while you're on that treadmill. You're at the same place, same time. You got your headphones in, but there's, the wind is not blowing, the sun, the clouds, the temperature changes, the birds, the cars, to whatever it may be. All those things your brain is now, getting engaged with.
Yeah. Well, what about the left brain? Okay. Like, let's say I needed to work on an Excel spreadsheet, or I needed to work up a large budget for a company or something like that. So I got to go heavily left brain. What would help me prepare for that? Is it all the same? Does it matter? I mean, does the activity matter?
Exercise doesn't. Yeah, exercise doesn't necessarily affect one brain or the other. We want to do things on both sides of the body, though, so that, again, we do work both sides of the brain, so we're not always just strong side dominant, whether that's your right or your left hand or foot. You want to work that subordinate side, because also when it comes to injury, you know, prevention, if you go to use your left foot and your right foot, for example, right-sided, and you don't have strength or connective tissues really built up with that, that's when you have an injury. But we do need to do both sides, so you're right. It does, though, balance out, stimulus.
Very good. Okay, by the way, I offered one of those hamster wheels to my wife. That didn't help at all.
No?
Yeah, so
did
I just
you
want
say,
you to
know, you know what you can do with that hamster wheel?
Tell you that. I just want you to know your advice is great. It's not airtight, though. It's not perfect. And, anyway. Okay, well, Matt, thank you so much. And once again, as always, how can people check in on you and learn more of your information?
They can go to my website, which is mattpeale.com. I actually have a free report and three free videos you can get on there.
Hey, really quick, let me interrupt. Your videos are cool. I love them.
Thank you.
Continue on.
Howie the Executive. I got some of those too on my YouTube channel. You can go to my Facebook page at Athlete in the Game of Life. And then you can follow me on Twitter or LinkedIn at Matt Peel, as I follow Rush to Reason on Twitter.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for joining us. We'll have you back.
You're welcome. Thank you, Andy.
You bet. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Well, do you feel smarter?
I do.
Actually, that was great advice.
Yes, it was.
I mean, that could really help me because as I get older, I check out a lot.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same way, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, up next, somebody who never checks out, that's Steve House, mm-hmm. and he'll be joining us in just a moment. First, Michael Bailey Law. Look at the government these days. Do you want these people making decisions with your estate?
No.
No, absolutely not.
And with many other things, Andy.
I think Jared Polis would have us laid to rest with masks.
Yeah.
Just in case. You got to be sure.
You make sure the virus doesn't get you when you're dead.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, for someone you can trust, call Michael Bailey. Michael listens to your needs and helps make sure your estate serves your loved ones in your way. What a concept, right? Mm-hmm. Call Michael Bailey at 720-730-7274, or you can find him at klzradio.com.
There's always plenty of time, until there isn't. KLZ's mobile estate planner, Michael Bailey, frequently gets phone calls from prospective clients the day before they undergo major surgeries because it suddenly occurs to them they might die someday. Meet with Michael Bailey now so he can write your will of trust and establish your medical and financial powers of attorney before you actually need them. KLZradio.com/estate.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
Soviet dictator Vladimir Lenin said that America will spend itself out of existence. Is that the goal of the Harris-Biden administration's America's Jobs Plan? Kim Munson here. Friday, economic historian Dr. Brian Dmitrovic will share his thoughts on this proposed $2 trillion spending bill. Hal Van Herke, entrepreneur and owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, will also comment on this proposed massive spending legislation. My friend and patriot Helen Mitchell will be in studio co-hosting the show. All this Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again, 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Water's Edge Winery. Warm atmosphere, wonderful wine, and delectable dishes to enjoy with friends and family. An evening out, a gift for that special someone? Water's Edge is the place for you. More info at kimmunson.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush, along with the talent, Anil Mathai. And on the line right now, we have Steve House. Steve, how are you today?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good, Steve.
I'm doing well. Okay, I believe you wanted to talk a little bit about Trump getting booted off some platforms.
Yeah, it's kind of that, but it may be a little bit different of a spin on it, Andy.
Sure.
I think that, you know, Donald Trump, President Trump, still the way I view him, President Trump has an opportunity with this step to do something better, in my opinion, than what was offered on the other social media channels. And I hope that what he doesn't do is simply, you know, try to mimic eventually. I know this first step is not going to get us there, but I don't want him to mimic what's going on with Facebook or the social media platforms like Twitter. I'd really like to see Donald Trump create what I would refer to as an agora, which is an electronic agora in Greek terms, meaning a meeting place where people can come and exchange ideas and philosophies. Because one of the things I think is lacking, and Bill probably represents this better than anybody, is that, you know, there's a certain set of ideologies we consider ourselves to support as conservatives, but there's nuances to those ideologies. And I think they're worthy of the nuances are worthy of talking about and being debated, even though the basic principles are common to us. When you extend a principle out to apply to a real world situation, we look at it differently. And I think I'm hoping anyway that his agora becomes a true meeting place where we can do some things that we haven't done in the party, and that will create the kind of political mindset and intellect that will get us where we need to go.
Well, Steve, how would that look in practice? You're a real techie, okay? You're a techie. And, I mean, are you saying don't make it look like Facebook? Do make it look like Facebook? How would people get together online in this way?
Well, I mean, I think you've got to have the basic technological process for getting people together. I think the issue is, I think what he ought to do as a leader of it is promote the idea that, hey, look, I don't want just critics here. I mean, you know, we have plenty of critics. If you're going to come to the table and be a critic, come with some ideas. I want to hear from you. I want them to promote the idea that we ought to be talking about things and exchanging ideas rather than just having, you know, 10% of the people promote or propose or even, you know, espouse ideas and the other 90% are trying to tear them down. Because I don't think that we grow that way.
Well, I agree, but how do you keep it from becoming the next hate form, which is really what a lot of platforms are, right? I mean, they're just hate forms.
You know, I saw a platform just recently that's in its incubancy, or, you know, it's barely alive yet. But one of the things it does is it lets you do a little bit more information analysis of the person who's making the comment. It doesn't give away your privacy, but if you're, you know, Anil and you've made, you know, 30 posts on a subject that are available and detailed, and they're categorized as, let's say, it's pro-life, you know, and he's talking about a pro-life subject, and he's well-referenced in his subject, he gets a little bit different perspective than someone who has done nothing but, you know, say pro-choice is all about the fact that, you know, Republicans hate women, and there's nothing there, right? I think you have to be able to show that people are actually creating and distributing ideas with meaningful thought behind them, and people should be looked at differently who don't do that.
Yeah, no, Steve, I think it's a great point here. You know, Steve has brought so many ideas to, you know, the Republican Party as former chairman, et cetera. Steve, I think, you know, one of the angles there would be, you know, before you can criticize anything, you have to get into the discussion, you got to provide a solution. I think that'll be amazing because that'll force people to go from reactive to being proactive, to your point, you know?
You said the magic words, because the agoras that I've been looking at, you know, there aren't many out there, but then the rough sense of it is what you see, Anil, is you cannot criticize without offering an alternative.
Yes, yeah.
So, you know, if you're going to say, look, I don't think that we ought to, you know, get rid of abortion because women ought to have pro-choice, well, you know, what do you do about what's your alternative to that?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what is your belief about the subject? How do you stop, you know, so many babies from being killed in one race, for example, or, you know, you got to have some sort of an alternative idea. So I hope that it doesn't get to be just a typical purity test about, you know, President Trump, because that doesn't help us. I mean, we've got to figure that part out, but I think what we got to do is have a lot more ideas. Otherwise, the Republican Party just gets called the group of hate and nothing happens for us.
Well, and Steve, just so you know, and you know this being a businessman, Donald Trump did not rise to power and fame by having boardrooms where everybody thought alike that were lined with yes men. I mean, he rose to fame by having boardrooms with very diverse ideas. He likes the war. He likes the interplay. And so I agree with you. If he were to start something, you would want something where people can invest their ideas and actually engage and do it positively, not just negatively. I agree.
Well, and you know what? There's a couple of really good examples from his administration. You know, people don't realize this, but the reason why Donald Trump, I don't think, really Tillerson when he really began was because Rex would not be honest and direct with Trump. He didn't challenge him the way that, you know, in many respects, Stephen Moore did, Stephen Miller did. I mean, Miller and Moore were guys who would sit with a president and say, hey, I don't think that's a good idea, and here's why, and defend it. So there was no respect. I mean, you know, take the guy sitting next to you, you know, in an Adams County meeting, if he says something and you stand up and say you're wrong and you can't defend it, you're not going to win any arguments that way.
Yeah, I like, Steve, the approach that you're talking about and what President Trump is doing is if we bring out more ideas to the table, and have, I think it'll bring more civility back to our society. Right now what we're doing is cutting people apart, whether in intra-party, outside party, because we're kind of in the defensive mode. But I think the direction you're stating with the president's, you know, direction also, it's just an amazing thing here. I think this is a great idea. We got to bring solutions back because our children need them.
I know, and when you really look at the infighting that's going on in the Republican Party right now, you know, regarding people like Liz Cheney and stuff, I mean, there's some people who need to be moved out, and she's probably one of them. But, you know, I want to hear more about Elsie Stefanik and what she believes and what her specific policies are on things like healthcare and other things before I decide she should be the next leader, not just because she's the next one in line. She may be great. I just need to know more than I know today.
Fair point. Great point.
You know, Steve, you're talking about basically, hey, don't just bring negativity, bring positivity, bring both, bring answers along with your concerns. That's great. I like that. But what do we do about platforms like Facebook and Twitter who aren't just putting out a standard and saying you need to hold to a standard, but they're simply driving people off based purely on political bias? I mean, the team that just booted Trump again is a team of, let's face it, leftist zealots. Mm-hmm. You can see some of their quotes and their posts. I mean, these are radicals, and it's like 95% just radicals. And how can you have a platform that is editing to that degree and acting as a publisher?
Well, first of all, they shouldn't be acting as a publisher. I think we know that now. But think about what you're saying. You're saying, okay, all y'all out there, go play in a sandbox with a bunch of radical, progressive, liberal people. And, oh, by the way, the rules are that if they don't like the way you're playing, they can stop you from playing. Have fun. Who the heck wants to play in that sandbox? Nobody should want to play in that sandbox, right?
It's true.
I mean, you know, if you're playing in a sandbox where even Jack Dorsey, you know, at some point can be said, you know what, Jack, you haven't accumulated enough, you know, quality points in the conversation to talk right now, so shut up, right? I mean, there's just no, and you know what? We're addicted to Facebook because we can say whatever we want to say. We thought we could say whatever we wanted to say. And for a lot of people, it's, you know, pictures, and I get all that, but there's a lot of people in the political sense just want to be able to spout off whatever they want to say. They haven't necessarily always well thought out what it was they were about to say, so they say stuff that can be, you know, difficult or whatever. They have the right to say it, in my opinion. But if you're saying it with that rules, the rules of their sandbox, what's the point?
Yeah.
Oh, I agree. Hey, Steve, can I hold you over? Because I got a lot more questions on this.
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Folks, Franktown Firearms is next. If you're looking to buy a firearm, enjoy your Second Amendment rights, you can exercise that right at Franktown Firearms. There are KLZ discounts, including no rental fee when you take a class, so you can try before you buy. Go to KLZradio.com or call Franktown at, and this number is so easy to remember, 720-770-7777.
You will remember the people who treated you well during nationwide shortages. Franktown Firearms keeps their prices fair and shelves as full as possible because they value long-term client relationships. The team at Franktown Firearms has clients, not customers. Customers come in numbers with dollar values attached. Clients have names. Clients come back again and again because they feel respected. Because they've developed a reputation for reliability among their suppliers, Franktown Firearms has a more consistent selection of guns and ammo available, which allows them to keep their prices at or below MSRP. They continue to offer reasonable prices because they don't just want you to buy a gun. They want you to come back for training, sign up for a membership, practice on the range, and develop confidence with your firearm. Franktown Firearms, where students become friends. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown for specific pricing on guns and ammo.
All right, Bruce Simmons with American Liberty Mortgage. You know, you've worked hard for your house. So if you're 62 or older, maybe you should take that house and make it work for you with a reverse mortgage. Call Bruce Simmons. Get your questions answered at 303-467-7821. Or you can find Bruce at klzradio.com.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan, which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, you can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
All right, Barber's Foods is up next. Hey, Anil, have you ever bought cheap meat at the store?
Yes.
Yes, we've all done it. You make it, it's okay, but the next day you forget what you ate.
Yeah,
have you noticed that? Yes. What'd you have for dinner? I have no idea. Well, try something better, folks. Barber's Foods, grass-fed beef without the hormones. Barber's is something you rarely find at the store. Memorable. Call or text 303-466-7338 or order online at barbersfoods.com. Try Barber's Foods today. You won't forget it tomorrow.
For those select few who still care about how the animals were raised and cared for, barbersfoods.com is perhaps the last place in Colorado you can go to buy air-chilled chicken, locally raised beef and bison, premium Duroc pork, and wild-caught salmon that are all sourced from families that they know personally. Let's face it, some things in life are gone and never likely to ever come back. Like houses in Denver that cost less than $100,000, or knowing your neighbor well enough to borrow a cup of sugar. But thanks to Barber's Foods, you can still know where your food comes from. Go to barbersfoods.com and click on April Specials at the top of the page to find ground beef and air-chilled chicken breast on sale. And for Mother's Day on May 9th, they have Mom's Favorite Beef Filet Tenderloins on sale. Some things are long gone, but you can still buy your meats from a local Colorado-owned family business. Barbersfoods.com, connecting you to your food since 1949.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Barb with the United Way of Weld County said, "We are very happy with the copiers we currently have, and your customer service is exceptional. Doug is a great technician and is always prompt in coming out whenever we have a problem with one of our copiers. Thanks again for your wonderful partnership and customer service. I'm glad we are working with you." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush along with Anil Mathai, and on the line right now is Steve House. Steve, I have a real problem with these new kinds of platforms that come along, and I sum it up in two words. They suck. Okay? And, and I don't want to pick on them because, let's face it, Facebook, Twitter, they took years perfecting this. But people who come along, you would think if they have the kind of funding, not just that Donald Trump has, but that a lot of people have, you would think that they could learn from those things and put something together quickly that is comparable. But like when I go on MeWe, I'm sorry, it's nowhere near as good. It just isn't. So how do we get over that hurdle? Once again, you're a techie. What is holding them back? What makes it so hard to make it good?
You know, it's interesting because you're absolutely right. I mean, that's in the tech world, what happens, and I know it's a bit of a techie as well, is that you see leaps, right? So the BlackBerry was the first phone.
Right.
And there were lots of iterations that came out around it, you know, flip phones and all these things. But it wasn't until you made that big leap to the iPhone. And then there was a while before you got Android phones, things like that. So it doesn't happen overnight. You know, there will be. I think the critical piece that's going to change the way social media platforms work is an even greater awareness on AI and what artificial intelligence does to help guide people through social media. So, you know, if I'm gonna make a comment on someone's post, you know, AI can lead me to say, look, the last 10 people who commented on something similar to this said this. In case you wanted to know, you know, that may make people better. I'm not in Colorado at the moment, but I heard yesterday that somebody on some state rep used the phrase, called somebody buckwheat in the state, you know, capital or something like that. And
really,
you know, people were calling. Yeah. And people okay. calling me saying, oh, you know, what should Christie do? And I said, she should, you know, state publicly that if that's actually what happened. Right. I mean, you know, nobody's that ignorant, but you know, to say it and say, oh, I didn't know what it means. But what you really ought to say is, look, that's just lazy thinking. You know, if you're not going to use better phraseology than that, mm-hmm. you know, good public speakers, They're never gonna say something stupid like that. They're gonna say something well thought out with a little bit more intelligence. They're gonna be practiced even on a moment's notice. You know, that was pretty lazy if someone actually used that phrase that way.
Okay, but when you're talking about developing AI, I mean, that is such high level stuff. Steve, is this something? Are we talking about a world where only liberals can do it? I mean, why can't we conservatives put? I don't think so either. I agree. But why can't we conservatives put out something that's really good? It's almost like, I mean, as you know, I'm a born-again Christian, right? And why can't Christians put out better movies? Okay, you know, on average, it's the same thing. You look at it and say, guys, it's the same medium. It's the same thing. Why can't we put out more quality? And I look at these platforms, and I look at the competing platforms. You know, I like them, but they're not nearly as good.
Well, think about it, right? You just said it, right? So why aren't there better Christian movies? Because as a Christian, I want to get my spiritual feeding in a church. When I watch a movie, I want to suspend reality and go someplace else. You know, being a Christian is more about reality than almost anything else. So, I mean, there's an incongruity to that concept, just like there would be in the case of, you know, progressives like social media platforms because they tend to like groups. Think, you know, very, very closely aligned group think. You know, people who are conservative, maybe who are even libertarian, you know, they want nuanced conversation. They want things to say, you know, Anil says, okay, I'm pro-life. Okay, so how pro-life? And why are you pro-life? And
they want,
you know, are there any exceptions in your mind, right?
They want fewer absolutes. They want fewer absolutes.
Right.
You know, that's
right.
A really good point. I've never thought about that. Go ahead,
Social
Anil.
Media gives you, social media is run by those guys because they want group thinking. When you're not thinking the way they are, Jack or, you know, Bezos or all those guys just dump you off.
Yeah, Steve, we're thinking great ideas here. How do we reach the younger generations? I mean, my kids are looking at TikTok and Instagram and all these things, and how do we get them involved? My kids are saying, Dad, you know, you're always involved in politics. We hate politics, and they're only teenagers. And I'm like, what's the best way to reach them? What platforms, you know, et cetera?
Well, I think first and foremost, you've got to accept the principle that a lot of people right now are not going to accept, which is distributing political correctness on a broader scale is going to do more harm than good. Mm. So you got to be willing to sit with your kids and say, you know what, there's times when you got to have straight talk, sometimes mm-hmm. rough talk with people, because that's the only way it's going to work. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you stand up in a school classroom and you say something that is direct truth, mm-hmm. and you get in trouble for it, I'm going to stand behind you.
Yes, yeah.
Because that's just the way it is, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you've got to be able to be more direct about things than, you know, the political correctness. I mean, you can ask the question, you know, does this gender identity process we're going through, is it good for people? Is it bad for people? Who's it good for? Who's it bad for? Why is it good? Why is it bad? Rather than just saying, well, look, you can't say anything about whether they're male or female because there's like 19 other genders. You got to get away from political correctness, and I think you got to tell that to your kids, and you got to expect it from them. When they're politically correct, don't accept it.
But, you know, Steve, well, you're totally right, but, you know, on these platforms, it gets to be where all of that challenging of the predominant thought that you just did is disallowed. The second you try to challenge the predominant thought, it's disallowed, and that alone should make us disrespect these platforms.
That's why I started the conversation with you, that I'm looking for a true agora, a true meeting place where there can be philosophical discussions that you're uncomfortable with, but that no one gets thrown out unless they're 100% critic and they don't add anything, right? I mean, it's not, you don't get thrown out because what you say, you get thrown out because you say nothing other than criticism and never add a new idea. I mean, I think that should be the filter, as opposed to, you know, I said something that people were uncomfortable with.
Yeah, I agree with you, Steve, especially on speaking out the truth. I mean, everyone from American Idol, everyone hated Simon Cowell, and they loved him because secretly they knew he was speaking the truth. Right. So no, we're on the same page on that issue.
It helps him. I mean, think about it. If you told the truth in everything from healthcare to finances to whatever, you know, you sit with your banker and you say, hey, you know, look, I want to refinance this loan because I want to buy a four-wheeler. And you're in deep debt and your credit score is about 420. And he says, yeah, you know, there's enough equity in your house to do that. And, you know, I want your banker to say, that really doesn't seem like the right idea. Yeah. And I'd like to give you the loan, but let's be honest, you're getting deeper into trouble and this is only going to make it worse. Are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah, I agree.
And frankly, it's like the plastic surgeon who's about to do plastic surgery for the nth time on someone who should say, yeah, you don't need any more. Yeah. You're going to have to get it from somebody else.
It's
true. Not going to get it from me.
All right, Steve, now we're talking about, we've got just a couple minutes left here, and we're talking about creating new alternatives to these platforms, and I think that's a great idea. But let's take a look at those platforms themselves. Don't we have to keep promoting legislation that requires a platform to act as a platform, not a publisher? Because to me, that's a real simple distinction. All you got to do is say, look, you've got to put out one set of rules that says, you know, no profanity or, advocating violence. I don't know if there's anything beyond that, but whatever you put on there, it's got to be something that is free of ideology. And then you do not kick off or apply favoritism based on ideology. Otherwise, you're a publisher, you're an editor. I mean, don't we have to do something to rein these guys in?
Well, I think that it's more practical to push them toward actually being publishers and living with the liability of being a publisher. I think they would.
Well, yes, I agree.
It's just like COVID vaccines, guys. I mean, you know, if they were FDA approved, we killed swine flu vaccine after 50 deaths. We've had 3,600 deaths from COVID vaccines. You would have killed the vaccine a long time ago, except it's under an emergency use order. And so why are they not making these things FDA approved? Well, why are they not making Twitter and Facebook, you know, publishers? I mean, if they did that, then the guys who benefit the most, who all happen to sit in Congress for the most part, or in state-level legislative positions, those guys benefit by the fact that these guys don't have to practice as publishers, and they can do what they want with censorship. Mm. The government's the guy that's controlling that. It's like public sector unions, right? If all the money goes to the candidates that are on one side of the House, and then they go negotiate with that same candidate for the raises, that's pretty incestuous. This is a very incestuous scenario. So I agree with you, Andy, but I think the answer is you got to make them publishers and live with the right rules rather than make them play with rules that, you know, we'd like them to play with.
Oh, no. Actually, that's where I was going with it. I want them to be declared. I want it to be put out and said, this is what a publisher is. This is what a platform. You're acting as publishers. Therefore, that's what you are.
Yeah.
If you want to become a platform, you got to do this.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that fair, Steve?
I think that's absolutely fair, and I think that's the thing we ought to be looking for. And, you know, that's why, quite frankly, that's why people like MeWe and some of the others are struggling, because they're operating like a platform under a set of rules that should be, or the others should be, under publisher. They'd be a lot more popular if Facebook was a publisher instead of a platform. We'd have MeWe and the others would become very, very popular.
Exactly, because then that would be the outlet where you could go to have the whole system that you were discussing earlier. I love it. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Steve House, once again,
all
everybody.
Right.
And Steve, how can people reach you really quick?
You can always reach me at steve@houseforcolorado.com.
Awesome. Thanks, Steve. And folks, you bet. That'll do it for hour number one. If you missed this hour, it replays at 6. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Veronica Kirilenko from The New American and also Laura Zork. Until then, keep it right here on Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.